is the Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com, Max Henson, Panthers.com staff writer, and last but not least, Greg Brannon with his fancy iPad, which he can put his finger on the iPad, which in turn puts his finger on the pulse of all things social. That's a little twist there.
Wow. You like filling in the whole show name and everything.
No, yeah, filling in for Dan, who's
I'll do my best.
You know, under the weather, but I know he's still working hard.
Yeah. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, we know you're watching, Dan, and we know you're keeping the your finger on the pulse of all things social. But anyway, this is a win Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. And a big win. You guys can get excited.
I'm smiling. That's exciting for me.
I am fired up. And I'll tell you what, it has been a good weekend. Because let me admit something to you. When we don't win, okay, I don't want to watch other games.
Nope.
I don't want to watch other games. We have to keep abreast of what's going on. But this week, I'm excited about football.
Mm-hmm. And I think you probably watched some of the game last night, didn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And watched the film again this morning.
There you go.
And speaking of watching our game film, just a great, great game against the Atlanta Falcons. And as it's been said in the locker room after the game, on radio, on television, this is what the Panthers are capable of. Now, talk about that. Let me go around the room real quick. Was this a signature win for this season?
Had to be. I mean, an 11-1 opponent, division rival, wouldn't want to beat anybody more than the Falcons, probably. And, you know, again, well, you know, I don't know what other one you would put up against it.
Max? Yep, absolutely a signature win for a lot of reasons, I think. You know, we've talked about in that locker room, there are a lot of guys, obviously, playing a division rival Falcons. It's meaningful to a lot of them. But to some, it's even more so with the Atlanta connections. Obviously, that defense was led, the two senior most members were Thomas Davis and Charles Johnson, both Atlanta guys.
Bulldogs.
Clearly want to win that one. And then on offense, it's all led by Cam Newton, who, another Atlanta guy, who talked about afterwards how it means something to him to beat the Falcons. And so, yeah, definitely a signature win. And not to bring it down a little bit, but I think one of the reasons it is a signature win is because of the message you heard from Coach Rivera afterwards, pretty much saying, in a way, it's a little disappointing because it took a little while to get here, and it took a little while to put this kind of game together because, like you said, Mike, they knew they were capable of it earlier, and it's taken a bit, but certainly you're happy to come away with a win and a decisive one against a team that's the division champ.
GB, when the highlight film comes out, will this be the opening?
Well, yeah, and I go back to September 30th. The reason this was the signature win is because what happened down in Atlanta.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you went into the Georgia Dome, which historically has been a horrible place for the Panthers to play, you think you've got that game, and then, you know, the last minute, you know, just the nightmare that was that last minute, the post-game locker room that was a nightmare, the trip home that was a nightmare, the week after, and that was, I think Coach will go back and tell you, Coach Rivera, that was probably the hardest loss to shake for the entire football team. So I think based on what happened September 30th, by far Sunday, I want to say it wasn't a redemption Sunday, but it was one of those, when they left the field, it was like, we just answered a lot. But I get back to what Max just said too, too bad it was weak.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
That's true. 13. Well, you can hang a lot of labels on this game. And one thing we know, our fans were excited. And you can tell by all the things trending on our social networks right now. I finally got that word in, trending. That's one of our new
trending
words.
Up. Very nice.
That has to be in every show from now on.
Okay, all right.
So what's trending right now on our social networks, Greg?
Well, Dan's popping stuff to us right now. A question from Kevin Johnson. I think this is a direction we want to go off of Facebook. He says, of all the young guys who have been given more playing time, who do you think has shown the most to maybe be a key player down the road? And let's put Luke Kuechly on the shelf for now. And let's talk about other.
Can't talk about Luke right
not,
now.
Not
okay.
yet. I mean, right. other young guys. And when you look at, we were doing this right before we came on, when you look at the starting defensive unit, you know, Max alluded to Charles Johnson and Thomas Davis being the most senior guys. You had Greg Hardy, who was a third-year guy. Frank Kearse, second-year guy. Andre Neblett, a third-year guy. Jason Phillips, a fourth-year guy. Kuechly's a rookie. Captain Munderland, a fourth-year guy. Josh Thomas, a second-year guy. DJ Campbell, a rookie. A rookie is a fifth-year guy. If you look at that, there are a lot of young guys on the field. So back to the question from Kevin Johnson, who do you think out of these young guys that we're seeing, it'll be offense or defense, is going to be a key player down the road for the Panthers?
Well, I'm going to take Frank Kearse because, I mean, he put some good work on film. And here was the thing. We had talked about for the last 2 weeks since Ron Edwards went down, how were they going to replace him? And I can tell you what, his time over the nose in the beginning of that game, I mean, he had a big sack right at the beginning of the game, and that was just a result of him firing off the ball, taking it to the offense on their side of the ball, and then not only that, the ability to shed the block and make the sack. Later on, he made a play on the sideline. What nose guard in the NFL is making plays on the sideline?
Right.
So now you're not just getting a replacement there. You're also getting some things that you didn't have before in a little mobility. Mm-hmm. And that really showed up well against that loaded Falcons offense.
Yeah.
How about you, Brian, Max?
Well, I mean, a name I would throw out there, he doesn't talk a lot and he hasn't been talked about too much, but I think Amini Silatolu has slowly started to come on here. I mean, the offensive line had its struggles against the Broncos, pretty well documented, gave up 7 sacks, and it was a rough outing since in the 4 games they've given 7 sacks total. And I know that's a 5-man unit up there, but I think Amini, and you've heard the coaches kind of say this in the past few weeks, he's starting to kind of come on a little bit. Coach Rivera said it yesterday. His pass pro is much better. Obviously, the run blocking is what he came in. That was his strength. That's continued to improve. And you just kind of see him. The screens have kind of come into this offense recently, and you're seeing him out there, his mobility, getting downfield. He just seems to be getting more comfortable. And I think, you know, you're seeing signs from him that he's going to be one of the staples of that line for years to come.
One thing he's doing before we go on, Brian, one thing he's doing, not thinking.
Yeah.
Because when you first come into the league, your head is spinning. And if you take a second to think in the NFL, it's too late because these defensive linemen are too good. They're already past you.
Well, I don't want to say you took my answer, but
it's a grand answer.
I'll talk about Josh Thomas and what we've seen from him recently. I mean, obviously the coaching staff gave him a chance to start this week in a spot that Josh Norman had had. That says something about what they think about what he's doing. They love his physicality under control. Obviously that was a little out of control at Kansas City. Yet still he was out there in the starting lineup. And I just marvel. I mean, we could have gone in any number of directions with this. The thing that I noticed along those lines that I was like, wow, during the game was at one point, let me make sure I get this right, Josh Thomas and James Dockery at cornerback, Colin Jones and DJ Campbell at safety. I mean, outside of Josh, those are guys we've hardly seen at all this year, and yet they were holding their own against Tony Gonzalez and Roddy White and Julio Jones. Yeah. It was pretty remarkable to me.
Quite a scary group. Greg, you got some more questions?
I was going to say, let's pull Luke off the shelf now. We talked about everybody else. From Don Atwell Hennessy on Facebook, Luke Kuechly is without a doubt, I love that, without a doubt, the defensive rookie of the year. He's got 130 tackles, !! Isn't that the best in the NFL?
It is. That would be the best in the NFL. Least
completely. I mean, overall.
Yeah.
Right.
Not
as an unofficial stat.
Not rookies. Yeah. That's...
Prefaced by the fact that it's an unofficial stat.
Well, we went through that a couple weeks ago.
Yes, I know. But yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So then let me ask the follow up question to that: will he be the defensive rookie of the year, or could he be the defensive player of the year in the NFL?
Well, you know, I'm the chairman of the Luke Kuechly campaign for Rookie of the Year. So, Don, you can be my co-chair or vice chair person, and we'll move forward on that. But I noticed that was trending, wasn't it, GB?
Yeah. Well, you just dropped trending again.
Well,
Very much so. Kind of
like
a
little bonus for each time
I become a trend.
Cha-ching. Okay. Yeah. Very similar to RG3, went from that conversation of offensive Rookie of the Year to potentially the NFL Offensive Player of the Year. I think you've got to have Luke Kuechly in that conversation. I mean, forget the rookie portion of not only what he's done with 130 tackles, but what he's become for the defense. And with John Beeson going out and you're throwing a rookie in there, and he is, it's clear the last 3 or 4 weeks he has become the leader, the unquestioned leader of that defense. You can tell just by the way he carries himself, how much time he's on the field, and the way he's talking to everybody, and the way he's in command of what's going on.
Yeah, rookie of the year, I would say so. Defensive player of the year, I have to admit, that's not something I've thought about until you brought this up. And I can't tell you right off the top of my head, you know, no, because it's going to be this guy or whatever. I can tell you to be a pretty heated race even for rookie of the year.
Sure.
But, I mean, obviously in this building, we understand his value more than anybody outside the building does.
Listening out there?
And that's, you know, that's a factor. But the good thing for Luke for that award is that now he has something tangible that voters can grasp right. onto. I mean, leading the league in tackles, how can you ignore that? Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And as we look forward and we'll just start all our campaigns. How about the Thomas Davis, Max, for a comeback play of the year?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been talked about around here for a while, certainly, and, you know, for good reason. I mean, the guy has pretty much done the impossible in the NFL, coming back from three ACL tears to the same knee. And his story is just it's a marvel to kind of watch him continue to play at this level. Obviously, gets a big impact play late in the fourth quarter, intercepting Matt Ryan to kind of help seal the victory on Sunday. And it's an incredible story, obviously, to what he means to this team, this organization. It, you know, you really can't overstate it. As far as comeback player of the year, he couldn't have, unfortunately for him, he couldn't pick a worse year to go up against some candidates, because he's got Peyton Manning and Adrian Peterson, who obviously are two of the brightest stars of the league. One plays the glamour position of quarterback. The other one is attempting to try to break the single-season rushing yard record. I mean, he's up against it, but, hey, Thomas Davis has been up against it before, and he's proven doubters wrong. Maybe he's got a couple more.
Well, if not, how about a consolation prize, a trip to the Pro Bowl?
There you go. It'll
be more than a consolation prize.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, more than a consolation prize, but well-deserved, because – I mean, and this is a thing that will escape folks who are not in the building or around this team, is just to see emotionally what he does for this team.
Yep.
As a leader, and not just leading. You know, there's some guys that lead with the mouth, and then there's some guys that lead with action, mm-hmm. and he's doing it with right. action.
And he does both.
He does both.
But and let me do a little shameless plug for our television show this week. We'll go into the locker room post-game. And kind of let people see how that all went down, because I think everybody knows that Coach Rivera gave Thomas Davis the game ball. And it was in a very emotional locker room.
Yeah.
And it was where, you know, you saw TD not just be, you know, he's a vocal leader. You see him, you know, pregame in the locker room. You see him postgame in the locker room. He means a lot to those guys.
Yeah. And I'll say this about the comeback player of the year, where I don't know, people will debate the stats of all the individuals up for it. The best comeback is Thomas Davis's.
Absolutely.
What he's come back from is the best of the bunch, I will say that.
Yeah. Well, we are rolling right along here on the Panthers Pulse. Thank you for joining us on your lunch break. And as always, this show is generated by your questions. So let's continue on with some of the things that you guys are looking at out there.
Let's flip over to Twitter. Jason on Twitter says, Cam has been absolutely on fire lately. What is he doing differently? Max?
Yep, well, goes without saying, the offense has been markedly improved over the past four games, and you look right to Cam. I mean, no turnovers through the air, on the ground. He's been seemingly in a zone, it appears to be, just playing his best football of the year. I mean, and that goes without saying. We talked to Coach Vera about it, offensive coordinator Coach Jasinski about it as well, and certainly Cam has been marvelous. And they point to the offensive line really coming together being a major key for that. I mean, you can tell now Cam is trusting his protection, and when you're doing that as a quarterback, it makes it easier to play well. I mean, he's not back there, you know, under pressure a ton. He's getting time to throw, and I think that's kind of really set the whole offense up for the success they've had. And they had 195 yards rushing yesterday in addition to what Cam was able to do through the air. And so, yeah, I think that continuity they developed up front is kind of really setting the table for what Cam has been able to achieve. And obviously, his talents has taken over. I mean, you can't understate that.
And Brian, yeah. Let me put the part B to that. Is Cam playing better than he did last year?
That's a good question. I think he's playing smarter than he did last year. He's playing more efficiently than he is, and I think that's key to what he's done the last few weeks. I mean, I know it seems simple, but we've heard for a while he's got to take what the defense gives him. And, I mean, I think he had so much success as a rookie that he thought, I can just take it all. You know, look at what I'm able to do. And then he had – I don't want to say to dial it back, but he had to learn, and it is a learning process. Second-year quarterback, easy to forget after what he did last year, that – you know, the home run is not always the way to go, that you're going to strike out. If, I don't know how this turned into a baseball discussion, you know. But, yeah. But, you know, he's gotten so much better at checking down to guys underneath. And, I mean, obviously his running ability speaks for itself. And, again, that's helped by the line, though. Mm-hmm. He's not being blindsided by defenders. He's able to, you know, he's been seeing guys coming and been able. I mean, the touchdown run was unbelievable the other day. That was a great play.
Yes, it was.
How about the one where he spun out of the sack and left the guy?
First down.
You know, that was just as remarkable.
And that's what Jordan Gross said afterwards too. He said our protection has been better, but Cam has bailed us out on occasion, and that's kind of what he can do. The offense just seems to be clicking right now, and Cam is playing really well, but everybody seems to be kind of pitching in, and you just get the. In watching these games, there aren't as many 3rd-and-11 and 3rd-and-12s. There are a lot more 3rd-and-3s, 3rd-and-4s. And when that happens for an offense with as multiple as this one can be, it lends itself to a lot more success.
I like to look at the whole offensive picture. And when you look at the last game against Atlanta, you score on your first four drives. And they were drives. And then not all of them. Three of them ended in field goal. You had the one touchdown. But I'll just say that that's a mindset. When you start a game like that against any opponent and you move the ball down the field, you knock them off the ball, you get them on their heels, it sends a message. And that set the tone for the whole game. And in the past, just for a lot of different reasons, with a lot of different moving parts, trying to come together early in the season, you got too many three and outs. And that's death knell for an offense. To get a three and out, put your defense back on the field. That whole game set up, and that was the only way you were going to protect the defense some by keeping Matt Ryan and all those weapons on the sideline, drive after drive after drive. Oh, yeah. And I just thought it was an awesome game the way it played out. And before we go, let's get one more question in there, GB.
Yeah, and this actually might let us transition at the end of it towards San Diego this weekend. But a number of fans, Twitter and Facebook, about this past Sunday's game, given how tight and tense the games have been, especially this year, is there a super strong rivalry forming between the Falcons and Panthers? And, again, I'll put an addendum on that for those of us who've been around since the very beginning, and the very first game of 1995 was in the Georgia Dome that the Panthers lost on a last-second field goal. So if you want to go back and look at the history of this, I would say absolutely that this has probably got to be the most intense rivalry. And if you base it on nothing more than what happened this year and what we saw on the field Sunday, absolutely.
Yeah, but I will say, not to throw water on that, GB, but there has to be something on the line.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
As sweet as that win was, if we were battling with them for the division title, it gets a lot. You think that was intense. Think back. To the 2003-2002 games against Tampa.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
When both teams were trying to get established dominance in the division, those games were just unbelievably physical. And it will be nice moving forward, looking to 2013, when you can wipe the slate clean, and now you can go after these teams and compete in this division.
And I'll pour more water in the glass because of what happened this year. When we get to next year.
Right.
Yeah.
When we go to Atlanta and – there is stuff on the line. Okay, now there's even going to be more intensity than just that normal divisional game. I'm sorry, we kind of chewed that.
Well, I'll tell you, my first year here with the team and these two games against Atlanta, I mean, you talk about emotion and intensity. The first one down the Georgia Dome, we talked about how the way that went and how difficult this was on this team. And then the week leading up to this game, what you heard from some of the guys in this locker room about how badly they wanted to win this game. I mean, it's I don't know too much about it. Obviously, Greg has a lot more experience department.
Hey, hey.
But certainly from what I've seen, it's the rivalry is intense. That goes without saying.
That's true.
Ditto.
All right. Way to end it. Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. This is Mike Kraft on behalf of Brian Strickland. Ditto. Max Henson. Go ahead.
No, I just said ditto.
Ditto. Greg Brannon.
Ditto.
With his iPad. We'll see you. Right here, same place, same time, here on Panthers.com.
Ditto.